All right, will you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 53 today? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Now, I'm going to try to memorize verses 1 through 6. In March, and I invite you to do that with me. And this is, we're not going to do all those verses, by the way. We're not trying to memorize them as a church family, not this month, but there is one that we are. I like this that I saw this week. So trusting God doesn't mean that I have all the answer. It means I believe that He does. And I thought that was good enough to share with you folks. So this morning, our memory verse and for the month of March is, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." What a wonderful verse to prepare us for the first Sunday of next month, for Easter. And I'm glad that we have a Remembrance Day, a celebration day once a year, that we can remember our Lord's death on the Good Friday and then His glorious resurrection on the Sunday. And I think it's a good thing for us to go back and to remember what He suffered for our sins. And so this morning, we're not going to do a Bible reading before we start. We're going to I'm going to incorporate that into the message. Just a couple of things about these verses, and especially Isaiah 53. And the first one is my opinion. I'm happy for you to have a different opinion. But Isaiah 53, in my opinion, this chapter is one of the three most important chapters in the Old Testament. So I should have said in the Old Testament, saying Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, God creating us, and Genesis 3, the fall. In fact, He promised in Genesis 3, He promised what's here in Isaiah 53. That's the first promise of the Savior. And so I think this is a very important chapter. The book of Isaiah, like all Old Testament books, was originally written for us, but not to us. And I had to ask my wife, "Honey, do I have that right? It's written for us." As in, we're Gentiles. It was originally written to the Jews. That's who it was originally written to. And when he says in verse number 1, "Who hath believed our report?" You look at Zechariah chapter 12, and eventually, Lord willing, Scripture says that many Jews will come back to him, to the Lord. And then the last thing, this chapter outlines the suffering, sacrificial death, and resurrection of Christ. And so, such an important chapter. And we're just going to look, we're going to read the first 12 verses, so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to read the first 12 verses, and then we'll make some comments about them. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised." Did you notice that it said that he was despised twice in this verse, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 are some of the most quoted verses in regards to our Lord's death and resurrection. You look at Isaiah 53 time and time again, at least seven times it's quoted, and other times it's a gospel, Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John will say something very similar to what Isaiah or the writer of Psalm 22 said. Such a meaningful passage, and I read this morning's passage a little bit slower maybe, just so that we could understand the gravity and the meaning of these verses. First thing I want you to notice this morning, and you may have picked it up as we went through, is the focus of these verses. And in verses, the focus is really he, the Lord Jesus, and us. And as we go back over these first six verses, I want you to notice I've highlighted first the number of times that he is spoken of. And then the verses afterwards, we're talking about us. Now, I realize it was the Jews first, but it includes us now. He died for our sins too. So he says, "Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him," that is the Lord, "as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He," Jesus, "hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see Jesus, There is no beauty that we should desire Jesus. Jesus is despised and rejected of men. Jesus is a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Jesus. Jesus was despised, and we esteemed Jesus not. Surely Jesus hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Jesus stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, with Jesus' stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So just so you know, in those first six verses of this chapter, Jesus is referred to as he or him 16 times. And if you look at the references to him in the first 12 verses, there's 46 references to Jesus in these first 12 verses. So it's about him, and then secondly, I've underlined the we part. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by us, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Can you imagine that? You ever have anyone not want to know you? Yeah, it's going to be embarrassing to act like you know them. We didn't want to know him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, not someone else's, our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the focus is actually just to mention, it's 19 times that the Lord mentions, that the gospel or the Isaiah mentioned that us or we were the reason he was put on the cross. I didn't go through the last 12, six verses because a little different setup. But 19 times in six verses. So what are the faults for which Jesus suffered? When it says that he bore our sins, he died on the cross, and it has given us such a visual picture of his suffering for us. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The faults for which Jesus suffered, who sins? Well, they weren't his own. They weren't his own. He did not die for his own sins. He said earlier or later on in Isaiah 53 there that there was no deceit. There was no wrong found in his mouth. He was sinless. So for whom did he die? He died for us because of our sin. So will you let me labor these words just for a minute to talk about this? What's the big deal that he died for our sins? First thing I want to describe to you is the word sin. And sometimes we can get to the point, or I've known people that thought they got to the point to where God couldn't help them. They had done so much wrong. They had been so mean. They had stayed in a pattern of sin so long that they felt like that there was no hope. In our passage today, we're going to look at the different words, and he uses them all here. And he describes every kind of sin, and every kind of sin that we possibly could do, he died for it. He suffered for it. The New Testament word for sin is missing the mark. Missing the mark, not just randomly practicing, but perfection. You're missing the mark is the idea of you're trying to be as good as God. Matthew 5:48 says that he is perfect. And so if we're going to be like him, we have to be perfect, not just some of the time. We're not perfect, are we? But all of the time, we cannot ever, I was tired and I just lost my temper. I shouldn't have said that. That's not normally me. It gives the idea of not doing those things that we know that we should be doing. James chapter 4, verse 17. It's the opposite of right. So anything that we do that we know is wrong, it is categorized as this. It's the idea of losing our temper, of not doing right, not going the right direction. So Jesus died for our sins, our missing of the mark. He also died for our Old Testament word for sin. Now there would be different words, but this is a different one. The word there gives the idea of guilt. Those things that we do that come with guilt. Abimelech, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Don't you touch Abraham's wife. That's his wife." And Abimelech said, Lord, I won't. And he says to Abraham the next day, "Abraham, you just about got me in trouble. God appeared to me, told me I can't touch you, and he's kept me from doing the wrong thing. You almost brought guilt on us, sin on us." That word sin is the word for any sin that we do that has guilt connected to it. And David in Psalm 32, he describes, you know, after he had his relationship with Bathsheba, after he had Uriah killed, for that year when he would try to sleep, He would say, my soul is roaring. Doesn't sound like a peaceful sleep, does it? My soul, I'm feeling so much guilt. I know I've done the wrong thing. Isn't it amazing? Jesus died for those two. So that if we go and we live in guilt, and if we're not willing to trust Him as Savior, willing not to, okay, live in the guilt. But He's willing to be our Savior. He died for that guilt. Not only the guilt, but He was wounded. He was, the word wounded, it means several different things, but the idea is the word pierced. He was pierced for our transgressions. The word transgressions is the idea of willing to cross the line that we know we shouldn't cross. Our willingness to, for us that drive, our willingness to run a stop sign or a stoplight when we saw it. It's that willingness to to speak a lie when we know the opposite is true. And we know that we are going to guide someone's thinking with the lie that we're telling. It's the idea of us going away, us rebelling and telling God, God, I got it. I'll do it. It's us rebelling and saying, whatever way you've said, I'm going to do it differently. Our second word in this one is the word iniquities. And I must admit, it was really cool. I read Leviticus 1-5 Saturday morning as my devotions. And I kept coming up with this word iniquities. And it kept coming up with if the person doesn't know that they've committed this iniquity, when they figure it out, they bring an offering. Well, the word iniquity, it goes deeper than just what we've done. It's more it's the twisted way we think. It has to do with, in all honesty, can I ask you? I don't want anybody to respond to this. If you grew up in a family, when you were having a discussion, mom and dad were having a discussion, and one of them has just had enough, and all of a sudden, okay, now if you're asleep right now, you're not going to like this. Okay, so you grew up in a family where when disagreement finally got to the point, and you go, and the next time they have an argument, and the next time they have an argument, you grow up what? Thinking, okay, when things aren't going my way, what do? I slam the door. Makes everything better. It's just those kind of things that we grow up with. They become ingrained and empowered in part of us. Well, mom and dad did it. Well, my friends did it. Must not be wrong. He died. He was crushed. The word bruised means crushed. Now, not a bone of him was broken. But he was crushed for those things that of our nature, that they become just who we are. You know what? Isn't it wonderful? I'm losing the plot a little bit here, but isn't it wonderful that when we have things that we've grown up doing and just part of us, that He can help us with those too? He died for those things. And then, no real explanation necessary here. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep, it's their tendency to stray. It's their tendency to stray. It's their tendency to lose, to go away from the shepherd, to go their way. In fact, Romans chapter 3 talks about how that we've all, there's none good, no, not one. We've all gone our own way. There's a car commercial that says, go your own way. It's like we're supposed to. Jesus died for each of these sins, each of these ways about us. So He was sacrificed on our behalf. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The peace that we did not have, He made available to us by His offering Himself on the cross. Last part of verse number 8 says, for He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. Verse 11 says, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. That word justify means to declare righteous. For He shall bear their iniquities. And then verse 12, therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death. He was numbered with transgressors, and He bare the sins of many, and made intercession for their transgressors. 1 John 2:2 says, and He is the satisfaction, the propitiation for our sins. When God the Father saw His Son on the cross, it pleased Him to bruise Him. But He also said, I accept that sacrifice. I accept that sacrifice. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, to people. He took an earthly body upon Him that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sons of the people. Sins of the people. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In the book, The Exchange, it talks about God's holiness, God's justice, God's love, and God's grace. God's holiness, He can't look over sin, not even in you or me. He's just, He must judge sin. He's loving. God committed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He offers to us to change, to exchange our lying, stealing, coveting, being alienated from God. He's willing to change that, and you put your sins in there. He's willing to change that for the Lord Jesus is holy, just, accepted by God, free to live. When Jesus died, that's what he made possible to all who will trust him. Very quickly this morning, I want to talk about the feelings of our infirmities. The feelings of our infirmities. It says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." The feeling of our infirmities is one word. And it's basically those things that he's willing to co-help. He's willing to come beside and help with our weaknesses. He understands them. He knows us. Well, in what way? Number one, Jesus is able to come beside of us because of his birth and background. Notice in verse 2 it says, "For he shall grow up before him," the Lord, "as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." It wasn't the Lord Jesus' looks that brought the multitudes to him. In fact, his being a root out of dry ground, that's a little bit bigger than a root, but it gives you the idea. Doesn't look like a very good place to grow, does it? Jesus, when he was here, yes, he had a mom that loved him, and dad loved him until he passed away. That would have been difficult. Or stepdad, excuse me. But notice that he left heaven. He left heaven, and though he could have done any miracle that he wanted to, he could have always been worshipped, he didn't. He became a servant. He became a man for us. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And Jesus said unto them, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Sometimes we look at our own lives, and we think, wow, we've got it hard, we've got it difficult, this happening, this circumstance, this happening, I don't have this, I don't have that. You know, those this's and that's and the haves and the have-nots are different for each one of us. But the beautiful thing is that the Lord, he laid down all those advantages and said, I'll live like you. I'll live like you. So as you're living your life and you don't have this advantage, this advantage, this advantage, this advantage, this advantage, or any advantage that you don't have, say it's okay. You're going to trust the Lord. The Lord, he feels our infirmities. He was lonely. He was rejected. You ever been rejected by people? Do you ever feel lonely? Now, the Lord Jesus was not a loner. But he did feel alone. When his friends heard of his teaching, of his ministry, they went to lay hold on him, for they said, he's beside himself. What kind of encouragement would that? You just sort of be, you got to make your mind up, you're going to do the right thing. Jesus didn't have at times, didn't have lots of support, saying, keep it up, keep it up, keep going. He was rejected. And then He was despised, rejected, acquainted with our grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was rejected in so many ways. The Lord Jesus, when he was healing people, they quoted Isaiah in Matthew chapter 8, saying that he took our weaknesses upon him. He took our infirmities. And those infirmities are basically any kind of weakness that we have. Any kind of weakness that we have. Job understood the weakness that losing family can cause. It can just sap the strength right out of you. Paul understood what it meant to love people, to love people, to love people, just like the Lord Jesus did. And them still tell you, you don't measure up. You're not good enough. Time and time again, the Lord was disdained. He was like, you remember in David and Goliath, when David came with his five rocks to meet Goliath. Goliath was huge. As tall as there. Bible says in 2 Samuel 17 that when he looked at David, he disdained him. He just laughed at him. Folks, when the Lord Jesus was here, he let people disdain him. He didn't care. So whatever weakness the Lord has let you have, will you trust him with it? Which is my last point that I will do. The faith now required. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Will you believe that he died on the cross for you? Will you believe that he was really able to pay the price for your sins? You don't have to live in guilt. Will we really believe in him that he is able to help us overcome those things, that whatever family patterns that are not all right, he'll help us overcome those? Do we believe that he can help us with whatever weaknesses happen in our lives? He can, because he died on the cross for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for these wonderful verses that we just touched a little bit. I pray that you'd help us to understand just a little bit more of the great sacrifice the Lord Jesus did and was, how much you loved us. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be those that are asking others, will you believe in the Lord Jesus? Help us, Lord, to know the power of Jesus' death in our life and his resurrection. And thank you that you do care for us. With heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment this morning, I just want to ask, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Have you asked him? Have you made that exchange, his record, righteous record, for yours? If you haven't, I'd love to talk to you after the service today. The second thing I want to mention, Jesus, he didn't sin not once. He died on the cross for our sins so that we could live for him. Are you living for him this morning? Are you giving him your life each day? Are you becoming more like Christ? If the Lord's spoken to you about something this morning, will you yield that to him? and by His grace do whatever He's spoken to you about. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this wonderful, these verses that we read this morning. As we ponder them more through the month of March, I pray that You would change us through them for the better, for good, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're singing Just As I Am as our concluding hymn today. And so His blood was shed for us. If I can help, let me know.
Thank you, everyone. If you can stand, that'd be lovely. If you can join us for some fellowship afterwards, that would be great too. We could do it's number 249, Just As I Am, and can we do the first two verses of that one? Thank you.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
God bless you all. You're now dismissed in God's loving care. Thank you.